work, at lunch, at dinner, at civic meetings, at church, at parties. What's that worth? It's incalculable in bringing to bear this referral type of an endorsed type of a business building process. Make sense?
Yeah. One of your big words is resonate, and what you're saying is whatever the situation calls for, be in total resonance, total compatibility with your customer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's more than that. It's not your customer.
Well,
it's this is a dear friend. If you had a friend who was in need, you wouldn't think twice about extending yourself. You'd probably stop in the middle of the day if they needed you. If you had a friend that hurt, you'd do anything within reason to stop the hurt. If you had a friend who was really happy and excited and they were a dear friend and you weren't envious of them, you would celebrate that excitement and you'd be so happy for them, wouldn't you, and for their family or for their business?
Yes.
It's just taking that very attitude as it would apply to friendships you have and transferring it to your business. And also, in the process, the clearer you get on your business friendships, it has a very wonderful byproduct. It dimensionalizes, intensifies, and dramatically enhances all of your personal relationships also, because it's not one or the other. It's not separate. It's all interconnected, Marty. It's all a point of view. Not only a point of view, but it's a way of thinking. It's a way of living your life. This is the mistake, the real error that most people make. You're not somebody at home and somebody different when you get into the car and get to work or start your job. You're the same person continuously. At least you should be, in my opinion.
Hmm.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
And if you are congruent and consistent, then you aren't in conflict. Most people are in conflict because they're two. They think they must be two people. They're Jekyll and Hyde, aren't they?
The developing of psychosis is a means of life.
Yeah, but I don't think it has to be. I mean, why can't there just be one continuum? Why can't you be the same person? Why can't you care about everybody? Why can't you be a great friend to the world? Why can't you, focus on making people's lives better all the time? Why can't you focus on what you contribute, not what you get? Because if you worry about all those things, surprise, surprise. I feel like Gomer Pyle in the old show. Surprise, surprise. Guess what, Marty? You get enriched at higher levels and more compound earnings than you can imagine. I was just reading, and I would recommend to anybody who wants a little bit of an esoteric high, get a copy of Emerson's essay on compensation and read it. It was written, obviously, a while back, but it's pretty powerful in what it states. And basically, your effort and your focus will pay such compound dividends if your purpose is correct. If your purpose is incorrect, you'll never get what you want. And even if you have a short-lived jackpot, it will not endure. You want every day to be basically... You want every day to be a mental holiday. You want to have such pleasure. You want to look as forward to going to work, as forward to meeting your customers, as forward to contributing to them as you do contributing to your personal life. And whether you've ever denominated it, defined it, identified it, or understood it, the reason you like whatever parts of your personal life you like is because it's about contribution. It's about connection. It's about really love and passion. Of some degree, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're miserable at home, it's probably because you don't have any of that. And I submit to you that you should focus on what I'm talking about probably before you even worry about some of the other alternatives. A lot of people look for nirvana outside themselves instead of inside themselves.
Mm-hmm.
All life is a process. It's a process. If you enjoy the process, if you enjoy the moment, if you enjoy the people, if you enjoy the possibilities, if you enjoy the impact you make, if you even find joy or at least constructive benefit in the setbacks, in the reversals, in the non-successes, you can't help but grow and grow massively from the process.
Can I ask you about friends and money?
Yeah, what do you want to know?
As I've been listening here, and we've been talking about referrals and relationships, it's very clear to me that it is wrong to think about living life out in terms of a taking kind of thing from a customer. This person is your friend. Yet most of us are geared to think of friends and money as not connected at all. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think it all connects. It all connects. Money, for most people, it should not be the end result. It should be a distinction you are awarded in direct proportion to your contribution to a segment of society. Does that make sense?
Okay. I'm with you so far. I don't understand the ramifications.
Okay, what I think I'm saying is this. You have opportunities of the grandest level to contribute, to add value to society in different ways.
Okay.
Certainly, if you follow what I have just outlined in the beginning of this when we talked about referrals and relationships, you can do so much more. It's such a deeper, broader level to connect with, contribute to, protect, and provide for the well-being of your customer or client. You can do it also in your personal lives at the highest level. If you say, every time I have the opportunity to impact or interrelate with any individual or any organization, I'm going to add value to that transaction. I'm going to make a contribution. If that is your premise and your desire, in my mind, Marty, you cannot help but achieve massive success. And that success, and this is going to sound a little bit metaphysical, but it is not. It is scientifically irrefutable if you let the process work. It brings to bear the natural process of reciprocity. If you have 100 people a week reciprocating what you are doing for them because they have no choice, they cannot resist it, it brings an exponential power back to you. Does that make sense?
All right. Yeah. Yeah, as we're talking here, I'm thinking about the people listening to The Wizard's Edge. And of course, it's my goal to help you clarify things or to help the listener actually get into action. I'm just afraid of a listener saying, well, the payback is going to take too long.
Oh, but it's not. I've had a lot of people come to me, and if they'll do what I ask, and let me give some exercises to people right now.
Okay.
Try this test. Whatever business you're in, you have customers or prospects or clients you must be dealing with directly or indirectly through your salespeople or through your selling mechanism or your order departments on a daily or at least a weekly or monthly basis. Would you accept that?
All right.
Or you're not in business?
Sure.
Okay. So you got some velocity, some flow of transactions or contacts going on every day, right?
Right.
Take a handful, whatever a handful means relative to the size of your operation. If you only deal with 100 people a week, take 10. If you deal with 100 people an hour, take a few hundred or a few thousand and try out what I am saying in the following different ways and break them apart and try different things different ways. Number one, start conducting any conversation or dialogue you or your salespeople or your order department has with the people on a more broadened basis, talking to them more on an interested level about their business or their department or their life or their family. When they come, don't just take their money and run. Where and when appropriate, engage them and discuss with them issues of importance. Ask them questions. Sincerely care to learn more about what they do, how they do it, what their life or business is all about, and the issues that are on their mind, good, bad, or otherwise, okay?
Okay.
Get feedback and watch what happens. If it's one-on-one, if you deal with them in a personal, real-life, in-front-of-them type of environment, look at their body language. Look at their eyes. Look at their demeanor. Watch the changes that will come across them if you sincerely are conducting yourself with care and concern. Same thing with your salespeople on the phone. Ask them to report to you what happens, the trust, the reduction in stress that seems evident. Then, as it's appropriate, take another segment of these people and experiment with telling them the following. You know, if ever you need the help, the advice, the assistance of me or our organization to clarify or answer questions or assist anybody in your business or your life that is facing similar issues to this or is evaluating or trying to decide whether or not to, whatever it is, buy this or just or go and do this or add this or get into this, please know we are delighted to answer any questions, to consult with them confidentially, to extend ourselves at the highest level and provide the best reason, best experienced advice and recommendations I or we have available, and we would never expect or require them to ever buy from us. It just seems like as important as you are to us, we should make ourselves available to anyone else who's important to you. And that approach is very powerful. See what happens. See what happens within 10 days. I can promise you, if you do it correctly, it is impossible. If you make that kind of an overture to 100 people, you will find, you will get at least 10 and maybe 50 referrals within the next 10 to 20 days. Now, you might have to do one more step. You might have to help the customer or client or prospect get a clearer picture of who and what you're talking about, because most people are so consumed with their own self-interest. You might say, you know, if you have anybody in your business who is, and you walk through a scenario that describes the crossroads people might be at, who is thinking about this or has trouble with this or is having problems with this or has expressed to you frustration with this and might be thinking that it's time now that they considered purchasing or getting into or using blank, whatever the product or service you're doing. So help your existing customer or client or prospect get a clear picture of who it is in their life or their business dealings who would be the excellent prospect for them to refer to you. Does that make sense?
Okay. So we can test this out on a limited basis.
Yes, and then find out. Either I'm full of beans or I'm right on or spot on, as they say in Australia. You'll know that very quickly if you try everything out.
All right. Jay, as we have been talking about the referrals, if I had to summarize where I'm at, and I think where a lot of listeners are at to the Wizard's Edge, and that is a lot of the things you're talking about are a little bit out of the beaten path for us, make us feel just a little uncomfortable. Typical response?
Yeah. A lot of people don't like to travel outside their comfort zone, but I got to give you a real simple philosophy here. Either you want a change, an improvement, a breakthrough, a better approach, or you don't. If you do, you can't possibly accomplish what you're asking by doing more of the same. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Maybe say, oh, well, I'll work harder. Well, okay, so you work harder at something not working or something that's not giving you the fulfillment or something that's not giving you the profit or something that's not giving you the results you want. And guess what? You're just going to get more of the same, aren't you? So you got to do something different. How do you do something different? I guess you can try to recreate the wheel, but why do that? Because at your stage, in many areas, you're going to be at most a neophyte. You're going to have such a learning curve. Why not take the exciting option of traveling outside where you're comfort, outside what you know, outside what you think, outside what you do, outside of how you do it, outside of why you do it, and examine and observe and explore, understand and embrace the alternatives, and evaluate conclusively what alternative has or alternatives have the capacity of giving you greater results, multiplied returns, increased profits, all the things you purport you want. Because either you're being true to yourself or you're a sham to yourself. And I think until you realize whether you really want what you say you do and what you obviously paid money to subscribe to this program for, you either do or you don't. If you don't, call a spade, there's no shame in it. You can either say you want this interview service as intellectual entertainment, or maybe you don't want it. That's your prerogative. If you really are in business or on this earth and in this world to accomplish more, if you know in the craw of your heart that your purpose is not begun to be achieved, that you've got so much to do, so much more to give, so much more to achieve and accomplish, so much more ground to cover, so many more people and places to impact, why sit in the bus station? Get on a bus and start traveling. Does that make sense?
How do I find my way to the bus station?
Well, it's simple. You stop being afraid. You realize that the worst thing about fear is uncertainty, and you have no uncertainty when you start experiencing things, because then you're certain. You're certain something either is good or bad. It's comfortable or not comfortable. It makes better sense or not. But you can't be certain unless you explore, and you can't explore unless you travel. So the first thing you say is, I want to start committing myself every day to traveling outside my comfort zone. What does that mean? It means things like, one, I'm going to look at people differently than I have in the past. Two, I'm going to communicate differently than I have in the past. Three, I'm going to refocus my interests differently than I have in the past. Four, I'm going to understand what other people want instead of what I want. And then I'm going to see how it feels, how it results, what occurs. But I'm not going to just decide whether it's right or wrong the first or second time I try it, because I admit and understand and acknowledge that I'm not possibly going to be good at it initially. At most, I'm going to be awkward. I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to be maybe not 100% sincere, because I'm not sure how greatly I believe it yet. So I'm going to try it enough and give into it and not be hedged and not be inhibited and not worry about how I seem and how I feel. I'm just going to be – it's going to be all about them, and I'm going to be a membrane in the process. I'm not going to be hung up on, well, how do I look and what are they thinking about me? I'm going to be into them. I'm going to be so interested, so connected, so focused on them that I'm inconsequential, and I'm going to see what happens and how it feels and what the results are. And I'm going to try a lot of things. And the things that feel good and work, after I've done them enough times that they should, I'm going to continue. The things that I don't, I won't, but I'm not going to feel bad even if they don't work, because I'm going to realize that they're getting me closer to what I really should be and what I should be doing and where I'm the most comfortable. Does that make sense?
Okay, let's pretend that you're I don't know if there's any average, but a Wizard's Edge listener, and by some miracle, they woke up in J. Abraham's body for the morning, and we're going to go out and look at people differently, communicate differently. Can you tell us just a few ways of the techniques that would happen?
Well, the first thing I'd do is I'd wake up and smile, and my eyes would be alive and bright, because I was anticipating the discoveries and the adventures and the awarenesses and the insights and the illuminations and all the wonderful things I would learn about and discover and contribute to today. And so I'd start with the right attitude.
Okay.
And then I'd start really starting in my own backyard. I'd start to really learn more about my own employees. I'd try to learn about what they're doing and how they do it and why they do it and how they see the job and what they think about me and what they think about their customers and what they like about it and what they don't like about it, and tell me as much as they know about it and see if they understand the customer deep level. I then start calling a bunch of my customers if they don't come to me, and I'd say, hey, I want to get to know you better. You're important to me. Without you, I wouldn't have a business. I want to do more. I want to understand more. I want to contribute more. I have nothing to sell, but I just want to basically have a deeper connection. And I can't have a deeper connection unless I literally learn about you. I can't just try to hope and wish. I want to know about you. Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your business. Tell me what you do. Tell me the other things you do. Tell me how. Tell me about your family. Tell me about everything. And I'd start doing that. Does that make sense?
Okay. How would you communicate differently?
Those people are inhibited. I would not look at people. I would not look at anything in an adversarial role. A lot of people trying to sell think of it's me against you. It's the customer trying to hammer me down and me trying to talk you into a purchase and make enough money on it that it made sense to me. And I would change the whole perspective, the whole psychology, the whole dynamic of that. It's me and you working together to bring you the best possible outcome. I know how, and my knowledge may be capable of giving you a much greater outcome than you even would accept for yourself, and start with that kind of a mindset.
Okay. And it doesn't hurt to experiment a little if we're afraid to jump off.
Well, a lot. I mean, what I like to do, the first thing I like to do, and maybe it's good, is if you have children or you have relatives or neighbors who have children, try to go with them to an environment where there are a lot of little kids and get into them. Talk to them. Play with them. Slow down enough to get out of your own head and connect to with what they're doing. Swing them. Play with them. Discuss things with them. Tell stories with them. Ask them about their day, their life, their interests, the TV shows they watch. Get into their heads, because we're all little scared children who've never grown up, including you and including your customers and your clients. The first thing you need to do is realize that, and it gives you a profoundly expanded understanding and appreciation of your true customer and a greater enjoyment of connecting with them. Get comfortable with innocent little kids, because your customers started out that way. They're still that way. Help yourself and them connect and communicate on a much deeper, broader level.
Okay, so just notice the subtleties that you've never noticed before.
Then extend yourself to connect to them. Extend yourself to communicate with them. Extend yourself to be interested in them and their circumstances and their business or personal lives. Extend yourself to really want for them an outcome. I may have told you in one of the previous discussions we have, but I'll tell it again. We hosted a party. It was an extremely successful party, not because we had the greatest refreshments or the greatest house or the greatest people, but because we had the greatest desire for everyone to really have a great time. We really wanted it to be a fun experience. We worked to make sure everybody enjoyed themselves. We acknowledged, we talked to people, we introduced people, we had fun, we made it unintimidating, we were humble, we opened ourselves and were not pompous. And our desired outcome was that everybody there have a great three-hour experience. We wanted everybody there to enjoy the evening and have the most wonderful reprieve or respite from their day-to-day activities. We really wanted people to have a pleasurable experience for themselves, not for us. We didn't care if they ever said this was a great party. We didn't care if we weren't the center of attraction. We didn't care. We just wanted them to have a great experience.
Okay, when you mentioned that before, I thought, you know, if Jay would just tell us how to have a great party, that actually is not a small thing.
But every day and every hour and every minute of your life could be a great party if your mindset is correct, don't you think?
Yeah, but how, for example, were you unintimidating?
Well, basically, it's like I don't really care about myself in an event like that, so I'm just into you. I want to know about you. I want to talk to you. I smile. I really want to connect. I envision myself projecting my desire for you in a real sense. If there was such a thing as infrared cameras, it would probably photograph energy, connection coming from my heart or soul or being or spirit or whatever you talk about, through my eyes and through my brain and connecting with you, so you know that there's a heartfelt desire, that I really care about you. I talk with sincerity, not patronizing. If I have to leave, I am apologetic and explain the reason why without, like, I'm sorry, I'm really enjoying this, but I have to go and be host, but I thoroughly enjoyed the time and hope we get a chance to talk some more tonight. and I try to basically connect you with somebody else.
How do you make sure people have fun? I mean, is that connecting with someone else? Or?
People have fun when they're made comfortable. People have fun when they are given respect. People have fun when they're not made to feel awkward. All you got to do is respect them, enjoy them, understand them, and go out of your way to connect as many people at as many levels as you can, and refuse to let people be arrogant, pompous, condescending, wallflowers, intimidated or intimidating. And if you basically break all those shackles, it's impossible not to have fun because that's all that's left.
Any quick tips before we go here about connecting people? I mean, I have this theory that the Abrahams are very good at that.
It's simple. It all emanates or stems from a desire to bring greater benefit or greater joy or greater pleasure to somebody's life. And it's a driving force so powerful that you can't really even get in its way, Marty. And if you try to doing it, it changes everything. But that's the best piece of advice I've got.
Okay. Well, Jay, I think this edition of The Wizard's Edge is most provocative. It seems to me it has the potential almost by itself of changing income levels, of changing personal satisfaction levels, and maybe above all, changing other people's lives in a big way.
I think so. At least I'd like to think so. It's changed my life. Ever since I made these distinctions, my life has been so much more dimensional, fulfilling, prosperous, not just financially, although very financially, but mentally, psychically. I'm having a great time, Marty, and there's nobody listening who couldn't have a great time also the rest of their life in business, outside it, in their family life, and in any activity, adventure, even in any adversity. You can actually have a good time in adversity, believe it or not. And that's a whole other subject we'll talk about in another interview. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Jay Abraham, the wizard himself, on this edition of The Wizard's Edge. That's all for now. Thanks. Bye-bye.